You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another winning episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and my co-host, Alex. The Giants win on primetime. What is going on? It snaps a 9-game losing streak for the G-Men on Monday Night Football. 9 games. That's unbelievable. It's the first Giants home win on Monday Night Football since November 14th of 2016, when the Giants beat the Bengals 21-20. How many wins did Daniel Jones have on primetime, more specifically Monday Night Football? That's a nice goose egg for everyone at home watching or listening. It's zero. But how many does the man, how you doing, keep it moving, Tommy DeVito have? One, baby. And that win came tonight. I'm Josh, and I'm joined by Alex. I said it already, I don't care. We're going back-to-back name drops. Alex, this Giants team is one game away from the NFC wildcard spot, while also still having a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, if you want to look at it both ways. They have the 8th pick in the draft and are a game away from the wild card. How you doing?
The best of both worlds, Josh. I'm doing great. It was a fun win. Probably the best win of the season so far, I'd say. Maybe debatable, but I don't know. It was the most fun to watch. You had pregame with Tommy DeVito's agent, who looked straight out of, I don't even know where he'd be out of, but he fit exactly how he should have fit. The family tailgate before
him. I'll tell you what he looked out of. He looked straight out of either Godfather, Goodfellas, or any other Italian mob movie you could think of. A Martin Scorsese film, all dolled up for a 4-hour. When you're going to sit on the couch and watch an Italian mob boss movie from like 4 hours long, like The Irishman or something like that, you're going to see Tommy DeVito's agent sitting there with that top hat on and the suit and all of the above. And how about him sitting with the family, by the way, and standing up and them kissing each other during the break when Tommy DeVito got that score? Oh, my goodness. Tommy Cutlets going at him. And I can't believe I name-dropped that before you did.
It's immense, Josh. The whole thing, the dad is perfect, too. The whole family is perfect. And the fact that he still lives in his home, his childhood home. He lives, like, literally 10 minutes away from our childhood homes. Which is pretty funny as well. And
we're going to have to visit him when we go back for winter break.
Yeah, we're going to go take a picture in front of his house. That's for sure.
I think we're going to have to drop off a chicken cutlet.
Yeah, I mean, can we do it as well as his mom can? Probably not, but we can at least try, right? So, it's a complete spectacle, and it's so fun to watch. And this Giants team doesn't make it easy, but to be on the winning side of a game-winning field goal, Randy Bullock, terrible miss in the beginning of the game, makes up for that at the end. Packers did not play their best for sure, but it was good. Good win. And Wandale Robinson, I mean, he's the key of the game today, besides Tommy DeVito, obviously. Really, really stepped up. I keep mentioning him throughout the season. Each and every game, I'm like, when is Wandale Robinson going to have that game? When is he going to break out? And that was today. And over 100 yards in the air and on the ground. So a really, really positive day from him. And, you know, the offense moved pretty well, scoring 24 points. So overall, really, really happy. And I think I kind of segued into a nice transition there for us.
You set the offense into a nice transition?
Yeah, I felt like I was like, ooh, I talked briefly about the offense, and it was like setting you up on the platter to talk about the offense.
Oh, yeah, 100%, Alex. It's a great job by you to talk about the offense and talk about what Brian Daboll said. What impressed him about Tommy DeVito, quote, earn the right to play today, earn the right to play next week. The kid's doing a good job. And already Daboll confirming that Tommy DeVito is the starter, still no more Tyrod Taylor. Unbelievable, I think, honestly, that the Giants and Brian Daboll specifically made that call so early in the week last week, didn't even wait until Thursday, Friday, Saturday to make the call for the Monday Night Football game, did it earlier, I think on Tuesday, that DeVito was going to start, and then does it in the postgame presser after tonight's game, that next Sunday at 1, we're seeing Tommy DeVito on the field against the Saints. That's pretty crazy to me, but if Daboll wants to ride the hot hand like he's been saying, he has the hot hand. I think Darius Slayton said that we got to ride the hot hand, and that hot hand is Tommy DeVito. And so, okay, you mentioned the offense. Let's get to the offense now, and you talked about a few different players. We'll start off with DeVito's stat line, 17 for 21, 158 yards, and a touchdown. Now, sometimes he showed off that he was a third-string practice squad quarterback, and that's what he came into the league at least to be this season, with overthrowing guys, putting players in tough situations to make grabs, a couple of them done by Wandale Robinson, as we talked about. One I know on the right sideline, if you remember that catch getting 2 feet down, I believe that was Robinson. And then the other one was in the end zone or near the end zone when he had that bobble grab where he was able to bring it in. Two amazing grabs by him, and I don't know how much that's on Tommy DeVito, but I think he could have definitely put his players in better positions. It was the same way with Jordan Love, who we'll get to a little bit later when we talk about the Giants' defense. Jordan Love also made it very hard on his receivers to make grabs. But let's be honest, Alex, Tommy DeVito outplayed Jordan Love tonight. And I think that was very obvious by the amount of completions he had to attempts. 17 for 21 is a good stat line. And yes, he was able to just do enough. Over 150 yards is not crazy, but he was 10 for 71 on the rushing game attack too. Tommy DeVito, the versatile quarterback, getting it done with his legs as well. And a very good job by him there. I was very impressed by how he was able to kind of maneuver in the pocket, especially for no experience, really. And even in college, right? This guy played on two separate teams. I know it was Syracuse, and then I think he transferred to Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. He wasn't too great on either of those teams. And he comes into the NFL, becomes a starter after two of the starting quarterback and the backup quarterback go down. And right now, in his third or fourth game playing for the Giants in the regular season, he's looking like a decent-ish quarterback. It's weird to say it out of my mouth. That's why I took a second to think about it. But the way I think he was able to maneuver around the Packers' defensive line and linebackers, I thought was pretty phenomenal at times. Saquon Barkley as well, looking like the Saquon Barkley of old. 20 carries, 86 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Then receiving, you already touched on Robinson. I'll just add the stat along with it. 6 catches for 79 yards. Isaiah Hodgins getting another touchdown in this game. And then that was really it for the receiving end. I talked for a while, Alex. I'll let you rebound and expand on a couple of points I made, whether it's Tommy DeVito and his navigation within the pocket or outside of, when they call intentional grounding and it's the tackle box. There we go. That's what I was going to say in outside the box. But then I feel like people were going to think it's like soccer or something. And then Saquon Barkley, too, if you want to. This is why. It's late. It's after midnight. I'm talking for 3-minute rants at a time.
Josh, let the cutlets fuel you.
I feel like I'm running on fumes right now. Tommy DeVito is giving me fire. Anyway, go. Talk.
Get a couple cutlets in you, Josh. What I would say is I apologize, Tommy DeVito. I was wrong. Clearly, you're the better option over Tyrod Taylor. I'm all on the Tommy Cutlet train. I'm just kidding. Josh is giving me a look right there. Tyrod Taylor, let's be honest.
Yeah, for everyone listening on audio, I still don't believe that he's the better option. Still,
no,
I know
he's
even
not.
After.
He's not.
No. Okay. We both agree.
He's not. Is it a fun story? Is this so much more fun than Tyrod Taylor playing? Yes. Am I happy that DeVito is playing and this is all happening? And I got to see his agent come up in the top hat and all black fit, kissing his father? Yes.
I feel like it's, honestly, I know I keep on saying I'm going to you and then I keep on cutting you off. I'm sorry. I feel like it's honestly, like you said, it's engaging. It's like making the Giants games that are supposed to suck to watch, fun to watch.
Yeah.
And it gives me sort of like a, what is he going to do type of atmosphere. Like, I feel like I'm watching an underdog story movie. Like, I literally feel like I'm watching either like a reality TV show, which is about the family, and then mixed in with the story of how Tommy DeVito is going to play. And it makes you sit on the edge of your seat and watch these Giants games with a lot of just more fun in the atmosphere. I'm like watching the game tonight in my room, and I'm like, is Tommy DeVito going to get this first down? Like, it's like, you
and
know,
when he gets the first down, they're going to pan to his family. What is his crazy dad going to be doing? Is his agent going to kiss someone? Like, it's so exciting. What's happening with this team? So, yes, Tyrod Taylor is still the better quarterback when it comes to the football field, which is what we are here to talk about, even though it is much more fun to talk about Tommy DeVito and his family's antics. But, yeah, I mean, he was really solid today. And you said, Josh, the main difference was that he was able to step up in the pocket. He didn't take those sacks. And in that final drive, that two-minute drill, he was able to really find those short passes, those checkdowns. Whether it was, I think, it was Darius Slayton, then we had, or it was Wandale, then Saquon Barkley, then Darius Slayton. And that was able to get that drive going before he hit that big play to Wandale to get us in field goal range. But he looked so much more poised in the pocket and didn't take any sacks. Threw the ball away on that third down that it looked like he could have tried to force something. He could have taken a big sack, and he did not. So there was definitely a lot of improvement from Tommy Cutlets. And, I wouldn't say, again, he's not better than Tyrod Taylor. He's not better than Daniel Jones, but he is a pretty decent backup quarterback. And he played very, very well today. And I think that's as simple as that. Saquon Barkley, he struggled in the first half, but really started to get going in the second. Obviously had that big run that turned into a fumble, which really shouldn't have been a fumble, but I'm not going to argue about it now because we ended up winning. If we were losing, I'd be on here talking for about 30 minutes about how it doesn't make sense, and I'd probably be bringing the clip up here on my phone and doing a play-by-play.
You'd be like,
why
you'd be like Patrick Mahomes in the press conference yesterday.
Absolutely. I would have been all over. And then for the touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown, if that was called a touchdown, I would have brought up on my phone again. I would have said Azeez Ojulari was getting held on his waist and his arms. How is they missing that holding call? What is happening? I would have spent an hour crying like Patrick Mahomes. But I am not going to do that. All I'll say is they missed a key holding call on Ojulari, but that's defense. And then offense, he's tripped. When they say, right, he's recovered from the trip, and that's why he hasn't given himself up. But if he's diving to the ground for no reason, he's either giving himself up or he did not regain his footing. It's one or the other. Like, I just don't understand the logic of that. So that call was bananas to me. I don't understand a thing. They were trying to, like, justify it in the booth, in the broadcasting booth with, I forget who the rules analyst is, and then obviously Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, but none of what any of they were saying made any sense. I was like, okay, if he's not giving himself up, then why is he diving to the ground? And then if he regained his footing, then why is he falling to the ground? Like, you can't have it both ways. So that call just really didn't make sense. And I touched on Wandale. He was fantastic. And Matt Breida, I think he's going to be the unsung hero of this game. He came in with a couple of really key runs early fourth quarter drive that got the Giants in range for that Isaiah Hodgins touchdown. So really, really big plays from him. And the offensive line really grew into the game as time went on, especially in the fourth quarter.
I'm still trying to figure out the rules analyst there. I had a guy, might have been John Perry. maybe.
I'm not. Yes, that's who it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. But not like that matters too much. I guess, Alex, we really did cover the offense pretty well, and I think sufficiently here that it's time to move to the Giants' defense, and the Giants' defense that, again, still putting up the Tommy DeVito famous waving of the hand.
It's a transition sign now.
It is a
transition.
It's a transition sign to say that before we transition to the defense, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back into the Giant Take Podcast. Let's talk some defense now. The New York Giants, they had one turnover today, or they forced one turnover from Jordan Love, and that was a pick made by Jason Pinnock on an absolutely horrendous throw by Jordan Love into Pinnock's hands. I know Matt LaFleur and the Packers were kind of looking for a call in there, none to be found. And Love in this game went 25 for 39, 218 yards, one touchdown, one pick. So way worse in the completion to attempts for Love and compared to DeVito. Might have had more yards, but it didn't seem like Jordan Love was clicking in this Packers offense. And Alex, you tell me differently or you agree. I don't know how you kind of want to take this, but I want to shout out a couple players. Deontay Banks on that pass breakup in the end zone. I thought that was an absolutely phenomenal play. I didn't like how the ESPN reporters or announcer, specifically Troy Aikman, went straight to how the ball was underthrown. I mean, I understand how he wants to look at the quarterback and Jordan Love.
Troy Aikman is also a Hall of Fame Giants hater, former Cowboys quarterback. He clearly has it out for them every single time he calls our games.
I know he sides to the quarterback position, so he probably immediately looked to, oh, that was another thrown ball, here's why, and he talked about how he did like the drop step before he released it. Gave no credit to Deontay Banks making a sick diving knockdown in the end zone, takes it out of the receiver's hands. I forget who it was intended for, but that was a great play by him. So I remember Banks getting that. He also got a really nice tackle for a loss. But again, go back to that pass deflection.
Couple other really good coverage snaps as well, where he was just all over whoever the receiver was. He did obviously get beat for the touchdown, but besides that one play, he was really, really solid throughout the game. You're right. I just wanted to add that in there.
No, I mean, we're doing good ping pong in here, and we can also talk about this guy if you have a saying for as well. A'shaun Robinson had 9 tackles in this game. Deontay Banks led the team in tackles, by the way, with 12 today. So, like you said, kind of all over the field. One tackle for a loss and one pass deflection for Mr. Robinson there. Kayvon Thibodeau getting that half a sack. Also a QB hit. I don't know if that's the same stat in there as well. 8 tackles on the day. Thibodeau looked pretty good today. Continued his career year campaign with when it comes to the sack totals. I don't know what that puts him at now. I'll take a look, Alex. Do you want to talk about either of them just so I can kind of pull up where we're at with Kayvon's sack numbers?
Yeah, I'll touch real quick on the defensive line. Actually, first I'm going to touch on the secondary. You mentioned Banks. He was great. Cordell Flott definitely had a rough game. When the Packers pretty much made a big play, it was pretty much consistently on Cordell Flott, whether he tripped or made a mistake or just didn't read the ball right. He definitely had a rough one today. But defensive line, you said A'shaun Robinson was very impactful. Nacho was really impactful. Dexter Lawrence actually had a relatively quiet game. He was going up against Elgton Jenkins, who's a very, very high-end guard in the National Football League. That interior offensive line for the Packers is definitely relatively strong, but their tackle spots, ever since Bakhtiari, hasn't been playing for them, has been definitely suspect. And we saw Ojulari and we saw Thibodeau really take advantage of that. And they were both really, really solid. And Thibodeau, I believe he's up to what, like in the 12-13 sack mark now. Ojulari for sure had his best. No, I'm wrong, Josh. You're shaking
11 and a half. 11 and a half. I was trying to chime in earlier, but you were on a roll, so I didn't want to stop you.
12 to 3. I mean, close enough. Anyway, Ojulari had a couple of really big tackle for losses. He obviously had that sack or half sack, him and Dexter Lawrence, to push the Packers out of a touchdown series there and into a field goal, which would inevitably be missed. So overall, the defensive line played well, and it was just a really well-called game by Wink. Yes, the Packers didn't have a great offensive day. But they were able to hold them to 22 points, especially when the Giants' offense at this point in time is just not really built as a, controlling time of possession type of offense. So the defense is still out there on the field quite a bit. So kudos to them, kudos to Wink, and overall decent performance.
Alex, I wanted to touch on, too, we're talking about defense here. Let's talk about the defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale's defensive scheme, doing it again, sending pressure. We talked about all of these players. Eight total QB hits on Jordan Love. That's how you apply pressure to the quarterback. That's how they make mistakes. That's how you get the interception to absolutely nobody besides Jason Pinnock there. There you go. And so let me run through all those eight, right? One for Thibodeau, one for Micah McFadden, three for Azeez Ojulari, who you already talked about his impact on the game, two for Sexy Dexy, one for Dane Belton, and I think I covered them all. Just a dominant day for this defense, only allowing 22 points and keeping the Giants offense in this game once again. And, you know, they could have done more. They could have done better. They had that pick, and by the way, it was a three and out after that interception, if I'm not mistaken, and they punt it right back to the Packers. So, you know, there are times when this team, or wait, was it that or was it the fumble? Wasn't there a fumble on special teams that the Giants recovered?
So we recovered a fumble, and then our punt hit McCain, and they recovered that.
So which one did we go three and out? Did we actually score points off the interception? We might have.
All right, now I'm...
It doesn't matter.
Josh, you're testing out my memory now, and I'm goldfish, so
yeah,
this
you
is rough.
Are. So I don't remember either, unfortunately.
You have to give me a stray like that.
I mean, this is obvious. We've mentioned on the podcast before.
This
you
is
have
known.
An
this
awful
is
memory. It doesn't matter because I don't remember it either. But there was one. What I'm trying to go at is I think the Giants, one of those chances, whether it was their muff punt or the interception, where the team, our team, the Giants, went three and out right after that moment. Right after that moment. And I think the offense, obviously, they always could do better in scoring more points and giving this defense a better chance to hold on and win. But they did just enough. And someone who could have done more but also did just enough is, we'll get to the special teams because we need to have a segment on that in this episode. Randy Bullock, big boy Randy, went 1 for 2 in this game. Missed that field goal early.
I've never had less confidence in a kicker than I do in Randy Bullock.
But got the game winner, and that's where we end. And Alex sent me the stat line that ESPN showed right when the game was about to end, and Randy Bullock hit
that
game winner. I said you sent that to me. 7 for 13 on lead changing field goal attempts in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime. That is not a stat you want to read from a kicker. 7 of 13. That's like a 3-point percentage or something. 7 for 13.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's not good. Not good at all. And special teams was disorganized. Yes, they had a good play where they forced the fumble, but then you make a mistake on your own side with McCain just being totally not aware of where the ball is, which I feel like is kind of an important thing when you're returning a punt. So you should kind of maybe look up in the air to see where the punt is and not just stand there looking straight into the ground. So maybe a little work and practice on that will help, but special teams, it is what it is. Thomas McGahee, definitely not a top unit in the league, let's just say that, even though they did force that turnover. But it was an even wash in terms of special teams, because I believe each kicker went 1 for 2. Punts were good, but special teams coverage, they had 2 turnovers on 2 punts. Neither, did anything super special on kick returns, so overall, it was kind of a dead heat in terms of mid-special teams play.
Alex, I just read this too, and now that I'm going back through all the stats, Tommy DeVito did so well escaping pressure, like we touched on earlier. The Packers had 0 sacks. Tommy DeVito...
To be fair, they had a couple that, because he was in the rushing motion, did not count as a sack, but he still lost a yard.
Still 0 sacks.
True,
and it's
true,
still 1 yard loss compared to 8 or something if he went down. Still 0 sacks, 71 rushing yards, able to not stay put in the pocket and avoid pressure, something we really haven't seen that much from him. But yeah, Alex, like you said, and this references back to, if you haven't listened already, it's still relevant, obviously. Our interview with Danny King over the bye week, he talked about how if Thomas McGahee isn't fired during this offseason, something's wrong, because to have this many penalties on the special teams unit as the Giants have had is absolutely wild stuff. But regardless, we now sit here, again, a 24-22 win. The Giants at 5-8 on the year, and the Giants in 5-8 on the year, 1 wild card spot, one win away from an NFC wild card spot in the playoffs, and also still sit in the top 10 of the NFL draft and have the 8th pick. They're going to go up against the Saints next weekend. Another game, another game with Tommy DeVito under center. Another very winnable game against a Saints team that is third in the NFC South right now with a similar record of the Giants at 6-7. So they just barely lost to the Lions, although the Lions seem to have taken, or just barely lost to the Lions, yes, this past weekend. The Lions seem to have regressed a little bit recently.
Two weekends ago. They played the Panthers this weekend.
They did play the Panthers.
Yeah.
They dominated against the Panthers. I apologize.
What I will say, though, is I actually ended up watching a little bit of that game, and they were not as dominant as the scoreline portrayed against a very bad Panthers team. And another point I want to make, I know everyone's saying, well, we're one game out of the wild card spot, but what are we now, 5-8 currently? There are, I believe, 6 teams in the NFC that are at 6-7. So that is a very competitive spot, and we are down a game with 2 games that we have to play against the Eagles and a game against the Rams. So everyone hold their horses a little bit. We can get excited. Tommy Cutlets leads us to the promised land, maybe. But it's going to be a tough road ahead for sure.
Alex, it's beyond a stretch that the Giants make the playoffs this year. But the amount of hope that we can have as Giants fans with DeVito under center is absolutely unimaginable. And if he keeps going, let him keep rolling. Also, let me give you a little hint for those Eagles games. I don't even know if we're going to see Jalen Hurts for at least one of them. Because if the Eagles keep rolling and keep on winning games, they could very well sit their starting quarterback for at least one of those matchups against the Giants if they clinch.
Only problem is they lost against Dallas, so now they're in a fight for their lives there for that bye week. So probably not, but who knows? Maybe they clinch the division but don't end up not able to get the one seed, and then they sit in that final game. Who knows? But as long as I see Tommy DeVito's father and his family, and please bring back the agent. I need to see the agent at every game now. We'll be good. We'll have a good rest of the season.
If you want more Tommy Cutlet coverage along with the rest of the family, follow us here at the Giant Take Pod on socials, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We really appreciate you listening. Alex is on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at Joshello29. And watching, we thank you for that too. Hit that thumbs up button down below. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you so much. All right. Alex, nearing 12:30 a.m. That's how much we're committed to the podcast grind. On Tuesday morning, I have my final math recitation lab, whatever you want to call it, tomorrow in 9 hours, less than that, from right now.
Someone has to tell me how math has a lab, but I'll never know.
If you want to...
Lab should just be for lab
science,
in my opinion.
If you want to come with me and we can go through Minitab and go through statistics and histograms, feel free to be my guest.
Well, I had my final this morning, so I'm good till Friday now, so I'm chilling. But yeah, not a fun time to be a college student, that's for sure. But we're getting close to the holidays, and Tommy Cutlet win definitely makes us feel a whole lot better. So Josh waking up at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, or 8 a.m. or whenever he's waking up, he'll feel a lot better knowing that Tommy Cutlets is there to lead us to the promised land. I can't even say that with a straight face. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope everyone has a great rest of their week, and we'll see you next time. Looking forward to the Giants against the Saints. Peace.